Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Alpha Talks Editors Roundtable, what moved the markets this week, the week ending Friday, November 20th, 2020. I'm joined once again by my colleagues at Seeking Alpha, Brad Olison, the VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News, and myself, your moderator and or host, Nathaniel Baker, a contributing editor here at Seeking Alpha. Okay, it was a bit of a weird week. We had a strong start to the week on Monday with positive coronavirus vaccine news that sent us on a bit of a rally. And since then, it's been a little bit of risk off with some sideways action. Today, as we record this on Friday at noon, the market is looking to take another down day here and will probably finish down for the week, which has been unusual, certainly this month. So not entirely sure what to make all of this. We do have the shortened holiday week next week with Thanksgiving. By the way, there will not be an episode next week because of this holiday, so don't look for it. And if you do look for it, don't send angry emails complaining about it not being there. Anyway, why don't we start off with Kim Kahn to provide us the lay of the land and his input on what moved markets this week.
Well, we've got the S&P pretty much flat as we're standing down a little bit. And the rotation trade did work a little better again this week. Value is outperforming, small caps are outperforming. But I think you're seeing a lot of the vaccine news priced into the broader market. And that's leading investors to look for kind of something else to latch onto. They've been playing some of the kind of their old favorites. It was a school closing that drove the market down one day. Then it was stimulus talks back on that drove the market up yesterday. But I think that right now the markets are looking for, again, that next step. And I think what we might see is it's going to be a logistics question of the science is done with the vaccine. How does the vaccine get to people, and you know, what are the complications there, or how well is it being done? That could be driving it, but that would take a couple of weeks, and maybe we see some more sideways action. Looking away from stocks, we've got oil's looking still a lot more bullish on the vaccine news. It's WTI is testing $42 a barrel. It's been up almost twice as much as stocks for the month of November. It's looking like, you know, it's pricing in some solid rise in global demand, and that's also being helped a bit by China's like latter stage recovery. But if you look at the bond market, it's a little more reticent. We've got the 10-year yield sloping back down to about 0.84%. That's coming close to where it was right before the first Pfizer vaccine news when it was at 0.81. So we're kind of back where we started. I think for there's some worries, some weaknesses, areas in the economy. Retail sales came in a little less than expected. Jobless claims ticked higher. And I think there, the bond market is pricing a little more of how the mom and pop shops are going to be weathering this latest lockdown.
Yeah, not mentioned was the little impasse we also had here between the Fed and Treasury, which was kind of announced last night on Thursday after the close and send markets into a bit of a tailspin overnight. Not terrible, but it appears to have since been resolved with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin going on CNBC this morning to say that it was all a misunderstanding and that Treasury will, of course, work with the Fed to provide liquidity as needed. So, Bradley, who are the winners and losers this week?
So I think Kim hit it on the head here with the cyclical moves that we saw this week and how the rotation trade panned out a little bit better. And the fact that a lot of this might have been priced in, right? I think the Pfizer news last week kind of set us up for some of this Moderna news on Monday, which had a 95% efficacy rate, which kind of definitely, as you mentioned at the top of the show, kind of led us forward. But it looks like it is priced in. The S&P is trading below where it was last week, even with all of this optimism. So it seems like the market was tilted in that direction. Nevertheless, there was some churning under the surface, right? We had cyclicals like financials, industrials, and energy, which all led the way. The six of the top 10 best performers in the S&P were energy names like Diamondback Energy, Devon Energy, Technip, that's the ticker FTI. All of those were up 20% this week. Retail also saw a burst of positivity at L Brands, up 19% on really strong results. Under Armour also got a nice bump. They had earnings a little while back, but one of the hedge funds, Coatue, added a little bit to their stake there. And on the downside, you saw some of that rotation bear out in some of the weaker financial payment space names like Visa and MasterCard. These are names that tend to benefit when financials sell off. And now that we had more money going back into the more traditional cyclical names, like some of these big names, big banks, Visa and MasterCard were among the losers. But seven of the 10 worst losers were health names. That's in part due to the major news from Amazon launching their own pharmacy. You had some of the drug distributors like Cardinal Health, Walgreens Boots were a bit weaker. Regeneron, which is a competitor, they provide that treatment for the COVID-19, but not a vaccine. They're a little bit weaker. Some of the testing names, Thermo Fisher was down. And then some of the defensive stocks like utilities, right? Those kind of brought up the rear. AEP was down about 8%. CMS Energy and WEC were the other two tickers. Also weaker in the on the downside. So those are some of the biggest names that we saw, and as you can see, it's heavily cyclical focused.
Cool. Yeah, and you mentioned it. There were some earnings this week, earlier in the week, and of course a lot of corporate news, which brings us to our next panelist, Stephen Alfer. Stephen, what was your take on the week?
Yeah, some of the retail earnings that stood out to me were a couple of the big players, Home Depot and Lowe's. Home Depot reported a 24% year-over-year comp. Lowe's reported a 30% year-over-year comp, which are, insane numbers for particularly for companies that sizable. And it just kind of shows you what kind of the, right or wrong, what the response to the pandemic has taken, money from the poor and given it to the owners of Home Depot and Lowe's. And I don't know if anybody remembers this fellow, Dan Price, years ago. He has some sort of a fintech company in Seattle, made a lot of waves when he said, I'm taking a pay cut to make sure every employee here makes $70,000 a year. And he kind of took note of that, and it made a little bit of news this week of just the crazy profits of some of the country's largest companies, while small businesses either see a major drop in revenue or literally, leave the earth. So.
Yeah. By the way, Stephen, I'm just noticing that you shaved. What is up with that?
It was getting uncomfortable. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can still apply to UPS at some point, though.
Yeah, that's true. They don't say you cannot be clean shaven, just that you can be, have a beard. All right.
Boeing was big news.
Yeah, that was another item of big news that we had early in the week. And shares rallied a bit, and they've since come back down to earth a bit. They're still well below where they were at the start of the year. Who knows what's going on.
You could argue with Boeing. I mean, this is an unpopular opinion, but was there a better time for an aircraft to be grounded and reexamined? I mean, while there's no travel going on across the country, I don't know of a better time. I mean, you had 1,000 cancellations, obviously, this year was huge, but Airbus also didn't. I mean, their deliveries, I think, were down about 36% this year, and they were the only game in town. Yeah. So as bad as it was for Boeing, I think Boeing also had a pretty big week. I guess you could argue that they kind of got a little lucky.
Yeah, with that, they did. Although, of course, a lot of this is forward-looking, and if they're, when and if the demand for travel returns and what the airlines then have to do with their fleets, that I think that is more of the bigger question. And how many of them are going to be ordering from Boeing, though? The alternatives, there's only one, which is Airbus, right? So you figure they'll probably make their peace with this Air Max thing, and you know, eventually when travel does return.
What's going to be harder, getting people to take the vaccine or getting back in the air?
On the Air Max, yeah, good question.
But that is a very Twitter good poll question. On that.
And what's the outcome?
A vaccine by a long shot.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's good news.
Another piece, it seemed like the news was very much front-loaded this week. Mm. Brad and I were talking on Wednesday at how it kind of seemed like a Friday, but I think the Berkshire Hathaway 13F, which was released Friday evening, I'm guessing was very interesting. I'm not going to say Buffett because I'm not sure who's making the portfolio moves anymore, but they sold some banks, continued to sell banks, and bought pharma stocks, bought some of the larger players, AbbVie, Pfizer, maybe Bristol Myers. So I think the portfolio moves there are interesting. And I think also interesting is they're not, none of them are major moves. They're more like trading around positions and kind of who's running the show there now. You know, Buffett's been kind of unusually quiet the past few months. So I'm wondering if any of these are his moves.
Yeah, who knows? All right, well, let's go to the next segment of the show where we talk about our favorite news items or Seeking Alpha articles of the week, many of which we were involved with either writing, editing, or otherwise. Kim, let's start with you. What was your favorite piece of your favorite coverage of the week?
Well, I'm going to go with one I wrote, which I got to learn a lot of stuff about from the B of A survey of 14,000 Gen Z potential investors. And how what their views are on the world and how that's going to affect the sectors. 40% of them would prefer to interact virtually rather than in person with friends and family. A third of them would be okay with a robot making their financial decisions. 4 out of 5 take in social concerns in their investing decisions. And on the other side, they don't drink, smoke, or fly. Mm. Or drive, and that was another one. About 50% of the U.S. Surveyed teenagers didn't have a driver's license.
How many?
50%.
Wait, okay. Of all teenagers who are 16 or older?
Yeah.
Do
not have a driver's license and plan to do some kind of shared mobility after the pandemic lets up rather than buying their own cars. So. Yeah, there's a lot of things, interesting stocks in there, obviously streaming stocks, chips, anything that's going to serve the internet, and pets, another big one.
Sure.
As they said, Gen Z is the loneliest generation. So Chewy was a big recommendation there.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I often, when it comes to, you know, drinking and drug use and polling of young people, I often think it's a lot like those polls of teenagers where 100% of them say they use condoms all the time. But so that part I put a little bit, take a tiny bit of grain of salt with, but the rest of it is very interesting, especially the car ownership.
Yeah, I thought in New York City.
New York City is much higher, but that's New York City. People who are left in New York City, which are not much, but yeah.
Ask about cannabis, so the booze thing could make sense.
Sure.
In that respect.
True.
All right, Bradley, what about you?
So I, for one, prefer dealing with all of you virtually. But although I'm not a Gen Z person, but maybe one day we'll get all together for this chat. But my story of the week that I thought was most fascinating was Tesla's addition to the S&P 500. Mm. The shares went on a wild ride after that announcement. You'll recall it was expected many, many months ago when they achieved this profitability, this outlook to profitability requirement from the S&P. Finally happened this week. But the more important story that I found was interesting is who will get bumped from the S&P, right? There are 505 S&P participants, and this is one of the largest names ever to be added. They speculate it might have to be added in chunks, and as a result, who may get bumped? Now, no one knows exactly what the S&P is going to do here, whether it's going to be the lowest market cap names like Xerox or Unum Group or even some of the energy names like Apache, Devon, or Diamondback Energy, or will they look to the low volume traded names, which typically do have high share prices, like NVR, the home builder, or Mettler-Toledo, MTD, Bio-Rad, or Teledyne. So I thought that was pretty interesting, especially considering the week that we had in electric vehicle stocks, like Plug Power, Fuel Cell Energy. You'll recall that's up over 600% this year. They got downgraded this week, no surprise. And also BLNK is another electric vehicle name that's up about 75%. So, you know, all very fascinating electrical vehicle week, and Tesla just kind of topped it all off for me.
Can't the S&P just keep it at 505? And I mean, it's not like the Big Ten has 10 teams. In fact, it hasn't had 10 teams in 20 years.
You mean so just make it 506?
Yeah, or whatever, right? If they don't have 500 to begin with, can they just keep going there?
It's possible.
You have to check their bylaws.
I guess. Stephen, what about you?
Yeah, and I'll quickly just add to Tesla. It's back to its, it peaked at about $500, like right ahead of the split, which was right before Labor Day.
Yeah.
And right after the split, it just plunged to somewhere in the threes, and it went up obviously big on the S&P 500 inclusion, and it's continued to go higher throughout the rest of the week. And I think it's within a few dollars of $500 a share again. So, you know, that was a bubble that may have popped, but it quickly reinflated. So I'll just give you my favorite story real quick.
Go ahead.
I have to say something now. I've talked about Bitcoin a bit in the past, and mostly it's been about kind of the rally, and it continued higher this week. But what fascinated me was an interview with BlackRock's Rick Rieder this morning, who's the chief investment officer for fixed income. And he kind of gave his stamp of approval to Bitcoin. You know, BlackRock's the world's largest asset manager. And if they're okay, he didn't say BlackRock's putting a lot of money into it in their funds or anything like that. But he did say Bitcoin's here to stay, and he sees it as a superior alternative to gold.
Yeah, that was the big one. The superior alternative to gold. When he said that, it was like, wow. Like,
I mean, that look, he is kind of jumping on the bandwagon. No offense to him, obviously. We've up through 17,000 this week and 18,000 this week. Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a capitalizing on momentum there.
Hmm. Right. But you think of 2017 during Bitcoin's run, right? We heard from Munger and Buffett, who called it rat poison, and Jamie Dimon, who threatened to fire anyone who dealt in it. But now you got these institutional guys, Rieder just being the latest, who says, yeah, it's okay with me.
So, although better than gold, I mean, gold's been around for millennia and humans have used it for all kinds of things. Right. And it does still have a function, whereas who knows, you know, whatever, we'll see. All right, well, that's it for this week. And again, next week as well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you who are celebrating. And we thank you all for watching and listening, and look forward to speaking to you all again next time.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.